The Culture Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, has said that now is the moment to put in place a new regulatory system for the newspaper industry, and that he would like to see changes made in this Parliament. The Leveson inquiry into press standards is continuing. In an interview with this programme, Mr. Hunt said the country needed a much tougher system to deal with the newspapers which stepped out of line. He said the body which punished newspapers that transgressed should be independent of proprietors and editors, and that politicians should not regulate content.
One of the solutions that people are proposing as part of the package, if you like, is that in return for opting into much tougher independent regulation, the press would get in return better protection against frivolous libel suits. And so I think this is one of those ones, if you don't mind, I will wait and see what Lord Justice Leveson says. I really like to see the whole thing sorted out, and I'd like it happen in this Parliament.
Mr. Hunt paid credit to News International for cooperating with police inquiries into phone hacking and alleged corruption, but said the company should have cooperated earlier. Yesterday, five Sun journalists and three other people were freed on bail after being questioned as part of Operation Elverdon, the investigation into alleged corrupt payments to police officers and public servants.
The arrest of five Sun journalists this weekend has provoked speculation about the paper's future. Rupert Murdoch is due in London later this week, and his News Corporation has said its Management and Standards Committee, the body set up to investigate wrongdoing at News International's newspapers, provided the information that led to the arrests. The development coincides with a break in the hearings of the Leveson inquiry into the conduct of the press. Here's a reminder of some of the high points of the hearings so far, beginning with Lord Leveson himself opening the proceedings.
The focus of the inquiry is the culture, practices and ethics of the press in the context of the latter's relationship with the public, the police and politicians.
Am I alone in detecting the rank smells of hypocrisy and revenge in the political class's current moral indignation over a British press that dared to expose their greed and corruption?
No British citizen would expect their medical records to be made public or to be appropriated by newspapers for commercial profit.
In a bizarre way, I felt slightly proud that I'd written something that created a riot and got a paediatrician beaten up or whatever was the case.
I desperately wanted to shout out, it's not true, but when it's your voice against the powerful media, you know, it just doesn't hold weight. And, you know, we're desperately shouting out internally, please stop what you're doing. I mean, we're trying to find our daughter and you were stopping our chances of finding her.
Paul Dacre of the Mail laying into a hypocrisy there, and you may have recognised Hugh Grant's voice. The News of the World reporters Paul McMullen and Kate McCann, of course, was the last of those witnesses. I asked the Culture Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, what he's made of the evidence at the inquiry to date.
I think everyone recognises that we don't want politicians telling newspapers what to write, so no statutory regulation of press content. But we do need a much tougher system to deal with newspapers who step out of line. Basically, the body that decides on whatever the punishments are for newspapers who step out of line needs to be fully independent from newspaper proprietors and current newspaper editors. You need to avoid the problem, what's called the Desmond problem, when people can just opt out of a system of regulation if they don't like it. So there's a lot of discussion going on about how you achieve that, but I think sort of the shape, the bones, if you like, of what we'll end up with are beginning to become clearer.
That's fascinating. Before we explore it a bit further, can I ask you for a moment, staying with the evidence a little bit more, what's shocked you most about the evidence that you've heard?
The real thing that shocked me was that these practices seem to be a lot more widespread than I initially thought. People had suspicions and hunches that dodgy things were going on. Some of these are subject to police inquiries at the moment, and so they're still allegations. But it does seem like there was a culture of practices that the public would not approve of or accept that was much more widespread than perhaps many of us thought.
If we look at the arrests yesterday, what's striking about them is that they appear to have come about as a result of information supplied by the body that News Corporation set up to investigate itself. Does that imply that that sort of thing should be done at other newspaper organisations? Because, as you say, much more seems to have come out than people imagined would.
Yes, I think it's greatly to their credit that News Corporation are cooperating fully. You know, I wish they'd done so a bit earlier, but I think anyone who is under investigation for these things going going wrong. I think the only thing to do is to cooperate fully, because the truth is going to come out one way or another, and I think the sooner we understand what happened, the better. I think the other thing that's come out of this process, which is very healthy, is a general appreciation of how important our free press is and how important the tabloids are.
But would you like to see other news organisations undertake the sort of exercise that News Corporation has done?
Anyone who is either implicated or asked by the police to investigate potential wrongdoing should give absolutely full cooperation, because I think the lesson from this is the longer you try and sweep it under the carpet, the more painful it'll be in the long run.
It's evident to you that things cannot stay as they are, clearly, because you do believe there should be changes. And as I understand it, you're saying the two key things are, firstly, that people shouldn't be able to walk away from the process just because they don't like it, and secondly, that there should be real punishment, real sanction against those who transgress.
Yes, and I think to those two things, I would add a third thing, which is perhaps not on the public's mind, but to me is the kind of elephant in the room, which is that the newspaper industry itself is not very profitable. There is a real danger of the whole thing going out of business. So I think this is a moment not just to sort out the wrongdoing, but also to put in place a modern regulatory structure that allows newspapers to be profitable and successful businesses in the internet age.
One specific point that was raised with the inquiry was the possibility that the inquiry itself might delay reform of the libel laws, which concern a lot of people who are worried about free speech. Do you think there's any danger of that?
One of the solutions that people are proposing as part of the package, if you like, is that in return for opting into much tougher independent regulation, the press would get in return better protection against frivolous libel suits. And so I think this is one of those ones, if you don't mind, I will wait and see what Lord Justice Leveson says. I really like to see the whole thing sorted out, and I'd like it happen in this Parliament.
Returning to the arrests yesterday, they are, of course, only arrests at this stage, but public servants were involved as well as journalists. Are you concerned? Do you think that we're going to see a whole new chapter of this saga open up, and we're going to find out much more about public servants' wrongdoing, just as we've, as you say, found out more about press wrongdoing?
I think we may decide that we also need that transparency with public servants, whether it's the police or the Ministry of Defence. And I know the Metropolitan Police is already looking at their procedures in terms of the way that they interact with the press. So I think that, you know, there's going to be reform across the board, but I think that's the right thing.
The Culture Secretary talking to me earlier.
The World at One. This is Martha Carney with 45 minutes of news and comment. The associate editor of The Sun, Trevor Kavanagh, has said the paper's journalists are being treated like members of an organised crime gang by the police.
Their operations are over the top, disproportionate, and out of all proportion to what might or might not be at fault.
We'll be hearing from him and from the lawyer Mark Lewis, who represents many of the victims of phone hacking. BBC News understands that the extremist preacher Abu Qatada is to be released from Long Larton top security jail today after a ruling by the European Court of Human Rights. We'll have the latest from there. And the EU Economic Affairs Commissioner says the Greek Parliament's approval of a new austerity package is a crucial step forward in getting a second bailout. The BBC News is read by Zeb Soans.
The BBC understands that the extremist Islamic preacher Abu Qatada is being released from prison today after 6.5 years in custody. A special immigration appeals commission ruled a week ago that he couldn't be held in custody following a decision by the European Court of Human Rights. Ministers want to return him to Jordan, where he's wanted on terrorism offences. But the European Court of Human Rights said it would infringe his right to a fair trial, as some of the evidence against him had been obtained by torture. David Cameron has described Abu Qatada's release as completely unacceptable. Here's our chief political correspondent, Gary O'Donoghue.
Abu Qatada is being released from Long Larton prison in Worcestershire under strict bail conditions, which will mean that he's in effect under house arrest for 22 hours a day. He'll also be prevented from using mobile phones and the internet. And it's thought that the Home Office has successfully argued that he will not be allowed out to take his children to and from school. But a judge has warned that these conditions can only apply for 3 months, and unless Britain can get sufficient reassurances from Jordan over a possible trial, Abu Qatada may have to have all restrictions on him lifted in May. Downing Street said it was exploring all options, and a Home Office Minister, James Brokenshire, will be travelling to Jordan this week for talks.
The Sun newspaper's columnist and associate editor Trevor Kavanagh says the police operation in which five of the paper's staff were arrested at the weekend is threatening the very foundations of a free press. In an interview for this programme, he said the way police had arrested 30 journalists in dawn raids was out of all proportion to the matters being investigated. Our media correspondent, Torrin Douglas, reports.
In an article in The Sun this morning, Mr. Kavanagh accused police of treating the paper's journalists like members of an organised crime gang. Interviewed by this programme, he said that when you had 171 police investigating journalists, some taken off extremely sensitive terrorist duties, and 30 journalists arrested at dawn and put on highly restrictive police bail, the operation was over the top. Mr. Kavanagh said there was a witch hunt against News International, and there were people who would stop at nothing to destroy the company. The News of the World had been closed, and they now wanted to close The Sun, but he said they would not succeed.
Scotland's First Minister, Alex Salmond, says there has been modest progress in talks with the Scottish Secretary, Michael Moore, about the independence referendum. But Mr. Salmond said substantive issues still needed to be settled, and meetings between the Westminster and Scottish governments would continue. Our Scottish correspondent, Colin Blaine, reports.
After a 90-minute meeting with the Scottish Secretary, Michael Moore, Alex Salmond said he thought the timing of the referendum was no longer a serious issue, and that the role of the Electoral Commission was more or less settled. For the UK government, Michael Moore spoke of a good substantive meeting, but disagreed that the proposed timing of the referendum was resolved. He still wanted it to take place sooner rather than later. Intriguingly, he hinted that Mr. Salmond's preferred date was in September 2014. The two governments differ over extending the vote to 16-year-olds and over whether there should be one or two questions. The Prime Minister will meet the First Minister in Edinburgh on Thursday.
The Greek Parliament's decision to approve further austerity measures has been welcomed by the European Union's Economic Affairs Commissioner, Olli Rehn. He said Greece should now implement in full the cuts in jobs and wages, which are a condition of a second bailout from the Eurozone and the IMF. There were riots outside the Parliament building in Athens and in other cities last night after the vote in favour of the cuts. Britain's five main banks have failed to hit the target they'd agreed for lending to small businesses. Figures released by the Bank of England show net lending fell in every quarter last year, leaving a shortfall of more than £1 billion. The Foreign Secretary, William Hague, has said he'll back proposals for a joint United Nations Arab League peacekeeping force to be sent to Syria, but he said he doesn't expect it to contain soldiers from Western countries. The European Union has welcomed the suggestion, and Russia's Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, said his government will consider the plan. But Syria has rejected the idea. Our Middle East correspondent, Jim Muir, is monitoring Syria from Beirut.
Speaking on a visit to South Africa, Mr. Hague said he didn't see the way forward in Syria as being Western boots on the ground in any form, even as peacekeepers. They should be drawn from other nations, he said, but Britain would support the idea if it turned out to be viable. Ruling out Western involvement on the ground might make the plan more acceptable to the Russians and Chinese. The Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, said Moscow was examining the idea. But he pointed out that it would require a ceasefire to be in place and also for the Syrian government to accept it. Neither of those conditions is currently met. The Syrian government has bitterly rejected all the Arab League decisions, calling them flagrant interference in its affairs.
A retired businessman from Kent is to be extradited to the United States, accused of conspiring to sell batteries for Hawk air defence missiles to Iran. A lawyer acting for Christopher Tappin, who's 64 and from Orpington, says the European Court of Human Rights has refused to block his extradition. Mr. Tappin denies doing anything wrong. Football and Wolverhampton Wanderers have sacked their manager Mick McCarthy after 6 years in charge. Yesterday's 5-1 home defeat to West Bromwich Albion saw Wolves drop into the Premier League relegation zone. The assistant manager, Terry Connor, will take charge until McCarthy's replacement is appointed.
Seb, thank you. Gotcha was one of The Sun's most famous headlines. Now some of the paper's critics are gloating that the table seemed to have turned with the arrests of several of the paper's senior journalists as part of an investigation into the bribing of police and other public officials for information. But in today's paper, The Sun's influential columnist and associate editor Trevor Kavanagh has described the police action as a witch hunt. There's unease at the newspaper over information which has been given to the police by an independent committee set set up by News Corp, the parent company. I spoke to Trevor Kavanagh a little earlier. Why did he use the term witch hunt?
I think that it's self-explanatory. There are people who will stop at nothing to destroy News International, The Sun, and the News of the World is already closed, and they will not be satisfied until The Sun is closed too. And I have to tell you that that is not going to happen.
Is that the aim of the police, do you think, to close down The Sun?
No, I wouldn't want to identify any person involved in what I would regard as a witch hunt, but I think the witch hunt is pretty self-evident. When you have 171 police, some of them taken off extremely sensitive duties in relation to counter-terrorism, the biggest squad of police ever mobilised in any crime investigation in the history of Britain, including the Lockerbie bombing. When you have 30 journalists raided at dawn and arrested, put on police bail with indefinite limits on what they can do in terms of earning a living, I think that you have to wonder what is behind it all. And I think a witch hunt is not an unreasonable definition of this exercise.
But isn't it a serious business if police officers believe that people have been attempting to bribe police officers? And these allegations are so far unproven, of course.
Well, I've made the point that, of course, they're entitled to make investigations and call witnesses and potential offenders in for investigation. That is all made very clear in the article I've written. We are also ready and should cooperate with those inquiries, and we do very much. So I think that they are, what I'm saying is that their operations are over the top, disproportionate, and out of all proportion to what might or might not, and I stress the might not as much as the might, be at fault.
You wrote in the paper today that sometimes money changes hands. This has been standard procedure as long as newspapers existed. But paying police officers is a breach of the law, isn't it?
Well, I'm not going to go into any of the offences that are alleged. So far, nobody has been charged with paying police officers, and as far as I know, none of the evidence points to a potential charge on that basis. So I think we're jumping the gun here.
Right, but so when you talk about sometimes money changing hands, this has been standard procedure, you're not talking about money being handed over to police officers.
I'm not specifying anything, but I think that your own media analyst, Steve Hewlett, has made the point that if they're talking about payment for stories, that would spread and involve every single newspaper in Fleet Street, tabloid or otherwise.
But would you condemn the idea of paying police officers for stories?
It depends on the circumstances. If it's in the public interest, if there's a public interest defence, then I think that that's open to debate. And I think that that is the test.
But it's not clear, is it, that the public interest defence is available under the specific act, which is the Public Bodies Corruption Act?
Well, nor is it clear that any attempt to trespass against that act has been committed by any of our 30 journalists who have been arrested.
What do you think about the actions of News International as a company as regards all of this? There was a quote which was used from a source from News International saying that, talking about the Sun newspaper as being a swamp that needs draining.
Yes, I think that that is an appalling suggestion, and it is resented bitterly and deeply by those many excellent journalists who have worked loyally for the company for most of their working lives. And I think it has been denounced from the very top as unacceptable.
Is it fair to say that there's unease at the Sun newspaper about the way the independent committee, the Management and Standards Committee, which was set up by News International, the way that that's been operating?
Well, I think it's fair to say, and I do in my column this morning, that there is unease about the way that some of the best journalists in Fleet Street have ended up being arrested on evidence which the MSC, that committee you mentioned, has handed to the police. I think there is unease on that.
Is there a risk, do you think, that News Corp will decide that The Sun needs to go because it's causing so much bad publicity for the worldwide business?
No, absolutely not.
How can you be certain of that?
Well, I think that there is no justification on the basis of what you and I know so far for any such precipitate and disastrous decision. I think that it would be a catastrophe for the British media, for the newspaper world, and even possibly for the BBC, if I may say so, if action which at this stage suggests no actual guilt should be regarded as grounds for closing newspapers.
Rupert Murdoch is thought to be visiting the UK shortly. Will you be making your concerns felt to him?
If he wants me to talk to him about it, I would be delighted.
And you'd be frank, I imagine, what you want to say to him.
Well, it depends what he wants to know. I mean, the simple fact is that what we have here is the biggest police inquiry, even bigger than the Pan Am murder inquiry. And that's the point that I'm making. It's not whether or not any offences have been committed. It may well be. It may well not be. But the point is that you have people being raided by up to 20 police officers at a time when they're still in bed at home and having their children's underwear drawers searched by policemen who in fact are being seconded from sensitive terrorist units at a time when we're trying to prepare for the Olympic Games and the potential of a mass suicide attack. Now, it does seem to me, does it not to you too, Martha, that this is disproportionate?
Do you think there is a real issue here about freedom of the press in general?
Well, I think that in the end it has to be, doesn't it? I mean, as I keep saying, nobody's been charged, nobody's been found guilty. What you have, and from my experience and knowledge of these journalists, they are very fine journalists who have used every contact they have to deliver stories in the public interest, and I believe that if there were to be any charges preferred, they would make that the staunch defence that they are acting in the interest of the public, in the interest of their readers, and indeed in the interest of journalism and newspapers generally. And I think that you would find that there are journalists in every other newspaper, including those who are leading the charge against us, who deploy the exactly same methods and procedures of trying to unearth stories which are in the public interest.
Trevor Kavanagh. Well, Mark Lewis is the lawyer representing the Dowler family and many other victims of phone hacking. He's reported today as being in the advanced stages of bringing at least one case against Rupert Murdoch's company in the United States. Let's begin with Trevor Kavanagh's argument there. What do you think of his view that the action, the arrest of the Sun journalist, is disproportionate, in effect a witch hunt?
Well, I think the position in respect of a witch hunt, if you find a coven of witches, then people could say that's a witch hunt. I mean, no doubt burglars would say that the Olympics are coming up, please give freedom and to burglary while you investigate and protect the Olympics. That's a question of police resources.
But I think the point about coven of witches and the term witch hunt is I don't think the witches ever really did exist, did they? I think the term is used when action is unfair.
Well, I think the police said at the very beginning, I mean, one has to look at the criminal investigation, and it's obviously not been established if anybody has been committing a criminal offence. But what Deputy Assistant Commissioner Sue Akers, in charge of the operation, said, we will go where the evidence takes us. Now, I think Mr. Kavanagh is correct in that he says that this is unfair because it's just on News International and just looking at the Sun, and maybe this was a wider practice. I mean, I agree with him on certain issues. I don't think there is any justification for closing down the Sun. I didn't think that there was any justification for closing down the News of the World. It shouldn't have happened. In my view, that was a bad business decision which affected the lives of many people, not just good, honest journalists, but lots of support staff.
But his point on the police action is that it's over the top because such a big squad has been mobilised to pursue this. He even said that people are being taken away from sensitive work looking at threats to the Olympics.
Well, I think the police have to look at the individual operations. If 20 people turn up to arrest someone in the early morning, that's a question to ask of the police. You know, it does sound as though there are too many people who've turned up to make an arrest. But there are obviously is more to it than that. If they've said we need various people to look for documents or specific documents, etc., and that's the size of the team that we need, then that's the size of the team that's needed. In terms of documents. We have to look. Who closed down the News of the World? It was News International. Who provided information to the police that's led to these arrests? Again, it was News International. News International is behind giving all this information.
And the reason that people think that they're doing this is because News Corp, the parent company, is very worried about its reputation across the world. And we're hearing reports that you're thinking about bringing a case against that company in the United States.
Well, in terms of my own plans. I represent my clients as best I can do. I'm not prepared to discuss individual cases, but if cases are in existence which have an American aspect to them, then they will be pursued, if appropriate, to pursue them in America. And look, News Corporation...
So without getting into individual cases, but you're saying that you are certainly prepared to go to the United States?
Well I mean, I'm certainly not prepared to deny that. I'm off to America to meet with American lawyers in respect of a case.
Oh, I see, and so that could go further, could it?
I anticipate it will do.
Mark Lewis, many thanks indeed for joining us.
Does everyone have reason to worry about the police investigation at the UK's biggest-selling newspaper, The Sun? Yes, says the paper's associate editor, Trevor Kavanagh. He wrote in the paper today of Sun journalists being treated like members of an organised crime gang, something which he said would cause uproar among civil liberty and human rights campaigners at any other time.
What we have here is the biggest police inquiry, even bigger than the Pan Am murder inquiry. And that's the point that I'm making. It's not whether or not any offences have been committed. It may well be. It may well not be. But the point is that you have people being raided by up to 20 police officers at a time when they're still in bed at home and they're having their children's underwear drawers searched by policemen who, in fact, are being seconded from sensitive terrorist units at a time when we're trying to prepare for the Olympic Games and the potential of a mass suicide attack. Now, it does seem to me that this is disproportionate.
But would you condemn the idea of paying police officers for stories?
It depends on the circumstances. If it's in the public interest, if there's a public interest defence, then I think that that's open to debate. And I think that that is the test.
Trevor Kavanagh expanding on his column on Radio 4's The World at One, talking there to Martha Carney. Employees at The Sun, at the headquarters of News International, think they are being picked on.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger in there about practices that have been common journalistic practices for years gone by. And, you know, every newsroom in the country has done the same sort of thing. And I think it's incredible that at a time when, you know, the officers are being taken away off terrorist duties to look after this sort of inquiry, I think people will struggle to comprehend that, to be honest.
I think it is fair to say that the scale of the operation seems to us to be out of all proportion to a news organisation that effectively is just doing their job.
Charlotte Harris is a lawyer who spent 4 years pursuing hacking claims. Her own phone was hacked by the News of the World. Her clients included the sporting agent Sky Andrew. Stephen Glover is a journalist who writes for the Daily Mail and The Independent. And Stephen Glover, do you have some sympathy for what Trevor Kavanagh was saying? This article headlined, "This witch hunt has put us behind ex-Soviet states on press freedom." Do we all have reason to be concerned?
Yes, I do have some sympathy with Trevor Kavanagh. I think things are going in that direction. What has happened with these Sun journalists being arrested, most of whom are very senior and experienced journalists, what has happened in the way they have been arrested and the fact that that nine have been arrested, really I don't think could happen in any other civilized Western democracy. I think there would be, in America, I think there would have been an outcry if journalists were arrested in these numbers and in this way. That's not to say that they may not have a case to answer, as Trevor Kavanagh said. It's just that it seems to treat them like common criminals. And also, by the way, a Guardian journalist was treated in the same way. So I'm not party pre to The Sun at all. A Guardian journalist connected with the same inquiries who was suspected of leaking information, was also arrested in the same way. And this treatment of journalists as common criminals, when there's no proof yet that they are criminal, does worry me, yes.
Charlotte Harris, does it worry you?
I just have to say, I didn't know that my phone had been hacked. I don't think it has. I think it was just surveillance, I think.
All right.
So that's all right then. Just listening to this and reading Trevor Kavanagh's article, it does seem so totally and utterly hypocritical. Just for instance, looking at their arguments about the sifting through private information for years and years, we have been in a position where the journalists, and this has been admitted in the High Court proceedings, and some of the former executives, at least we know that, have covered up evidence, lied to the police, destroyed evidence and misled the public on this, at the same time as saying that they are here as the public voice and that investigative journalism is important. You can't on one hand say that it's important to uncover criminality and at the same time cover up your own criminality.
What about the nature of the arrests, which is part of Stephen Glover's point?
Well, it sounds a little bit like doorstepping to me. Very early in the morning, knock on the door, people come in and intrude and infringe in your life. Now, this is something that they've been well used to. Now, I understand that there is a difference. I understand that it is enormously stressful when police come to your house and knock on the door and come in and disturb you and go through your things. But on the other hand, what were they going to do? Phone, make an appointment and give everybody an opportunity to do what happened before. Evidence was destroyed. People were misled. And so, therefore, the police, having last week said that they didn't do enough, I think do not want to be criticised again for the reasons they were criticised and before. So they are taking that approach, but I don't think it's heavy-handed. Unfortunately and sadly, it seems to be necessary.
Stephen Glover, do you think the police might be responding to the widespread criticism there was of the original investigation?
Well, I don't know what their motivations are. They may well be. I think in their original investigation, they were obviously sadly deficient. But that doesn't justify going in the extreme opposite direction. And if I may say so, I think it's slightly childish to say just because some journalists hacked celebrities and other people's calls at the News of the World, which is obviously wrong, just because they did that, then it's okay for police to arrest journalists on The Sun in this way who may possibly be innocent. I mean, these are different cases, and if one is wrong, then the other is wrong. I don't think, you know, the idea that journalists are getting their comeuppance, I think, is if I may say, rather childish.
I think that the thing is, you look at this article, it's written in the same sensationalistic manner as the newspapers and The Sun, on with their gotcha headline and the News of the World and so on, where you've got a front cover saying, is this the most evil person in the world? Is this the worst thing that's happened? People have been used to this. And now
what are you talking
language.
About? Are we talking about Trevor Kavanagh's article?
Well, I'm talking about examples, looking at Trevor Kavanagh's article. First of all, there's this comparison with Lockerbie and so on, this sensationalised idea.
There's a number of officers on the investigation.
No, absolutely. But at the same time, it's, look, you. Why should you put the police force into this? If you're in a position where you're playing catch-up, where there has been a situation where for 5-6 years the evidence has been destroyed or not there, or people haven't been interviewed, then what happens is that you end up having to have three police operations. And also what you said about this was that just because some journalists have hacked into the phones of some celebrities, we all know that it wasn't that. We all know that these were the phones of members of the public.
I said other people
murdered
as well.
School.
I said other people.
I know,
as well.
But the example was the celebrity example, which is the exact opposite. Isn't it murdered school children who have their phone?
Yeah. I mean, let's not. I mean, Trevor Kavanagh, actually, it seems to be quite a mild and well-argued piece, but that's beside the point. The issue here is whether there is a change of climate in this country which is leading towards tighter controls of the press, and whether police behaviour towards his son journalists is indicative of that. And I think Charlotte Harris should think twice before dismissing the idea that it might be.
Stephen Glover, just finally, as a keen media watcher, I wonder what you think of something Trevor Kavanagh said on 5 Live this afternoon, that he believed parts of News Corporation had been boastful about the way the company was working with police, ultimately leading to employees being arrested. I can read you the exact quote. There's certainly a mood of unhappiness at the company, certain parts of the company, not News International, I hasten to add, not the newspaper side of the operation, are actually boasting that they're sending information to the police, which has put these people into police cells.
Well, I think he may be right. What he's referring to, there's a kind of star chamber made up of News International executives, which is answerable to the News Corp board in America. And they talk about draining the swamp in reference to the Times, in reference to The Sun, which is, you know, their own paper. And I think that there is a sort of air of inquisition about it all. And I don't know whether they're actually openly boasting, but it is certain that decent journalists on The Sun, and believe it or not, there are decent journalists on The Sun, feel they are being persecuted, and they are partly being persecuted by this organisation, this small organisation, which is operating within News International.
Some of the journalists who have contacted me or who I've come into contact with, not only over the years but with this, have been very unhappy about the pressures that they've been under whilst working for various newspapers.
Let me be.
And also, when you're in an environment where you have such pressure to get the information and there is a culture where people do pay the police, then your success at the organisation is just mucking in with what everybody else does.
Well, we don't actually know whether there is a culture of paying the police. That's what the whole investigation is supposed to be about.
And we'll see what happens in the end. Thank you both, Charlotte Harris and Stephen Glover.
The Sun's newspaper's columnist and associate editor, Trevor Kavanagh, says the police operation in which five of the paper's staff were arrested at the weekend is threatening the very foundations of a free press. He said the police investigation was out of all proportion to any crime, something denied this evening by the Metropolitan Force. Meanwhile, lawyers acting for victims of phone hacking are exploring the possibility of taking their legal battle against Rupert Murdoch's News Corp to the United States. Our media correspondent, Torin Douglas, reports.
In a hard-hitting article in The Sun, Mr. Kavanagh accused police of treating the paper's journalists like members of an organised crime gang. Speaking on The World at One, he criticised the police operation as over the top, with journalists now being investigated by 171 police, more, he claimed, than in the Pan Am Lockerbie inquiry, and he said some of them had been taken off extremely sensitive terrorist duties.
When you have 30 journalists raided at dawn and arrested, put on police bail with indefinite limits on what they can do in terms of earning a living, I think that you have to wonder what is behind it all. And I think a witch hunt is not an unreasonable definition of this exercise.
Mr. Kavanagh said there was a witch hunt against News International and there were people who would stop at nothing to destroy the company. After the closure of the News of the World, he said they now wanted to close The Sun, but wouldn't succeed. Mr. Kavanagh, The Sun's former political editor, has long been seen as close to Rupert Murdoch. But today he expressed concern at the way News Corporation's top management was passing evidence to the police. Also on The World at One, Mark Lewis, the solicitor representing the family of Millie Dowler, defended the police's actions.
If you find a coven of witches, then people could say that's a witch hunt. I mean, no doubt burglars would say that the Olympics are coming up. Please give freedom and to burglary while you investigate and protect the Olympics. That's a question of police resources.
Mr. Lewis said he was flying to America on behalf of a client to meet lawyers and see whether they can continue their legal battle there, exactly what News Corporation has been trying to avoid.